Hello and welcome to Series 2, Episode 7 of Old Brother, a podcast about Salford / Manchester's legendary musical institution, The Fall. Each week we invite along a guest to chat about their experiences and memories of the group. You can find us at Spotify, Apple and all the usual suspects, but we're hosted at play.acast.com/s/Old Brother. All episodes are also available on YouTube. You can search for Old Brother Podcast and subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. This week, we're joined by a guest I know a lot of you have been waiting for, long-serving Fall member Mr. Craig Scanlon. We caught up recently in a popular Manchester hostelry, which explains the background noise. Hope you enjoy it. Alright, the latest episode of Old Brother with me, Paul Hanley, and my esteemed colleague, Mr. Stephen Hanley. And when we decided to do this podcast, I think probably the first name we had on the list is our guest today, I think. That's right, isn't it?
Yes.
I think so. Obviously, we had more important people.
Well, you'd obviously say that. I'm sitting in front of you.
Yeah, yeah. Just shine daylight on the magic. That's Mr. Craig Scanlon. How are you, Craig?
I'm all right, thanks.
Good, good. Bit late, but, you know, chat of everything.
Patches Britain.
So, jumping right in. The first time you saw The Fall, the Perry, is that right? Would that have been the Electric Circus, wouldn't it?
No.
No?
That was at Rafters, pretty sure.
What, the Rafters with Magazine?
It's either Magazine or, is it Penetration? So I have vague names, but I definitely remember watching it in Rafters.
See, we've had this before.
We have, the Rafters gig with Magazine, which was...
I don't know if it was Magazine, there was a band before that, Wayne County. They supported them, didn't they?
I've no idea. Oh, sorry, that's news to me, right, okay. I had it down for the first time was at the Electric Circus. The last night of the Electric Circus, and then Magazine with The Fall.
We've seen them before then, haven't we?
No, that's where it differs. I don't remember that at all. I remember
the Magazine one, but that was after the Electric Circus.
No, I remember standing next to Mark Riley, and we just kind of looked at each other while we watched them playing. Right. And we basically said, this is the band.
Ah, right, okay.
We knew this was the band, because we used to go to Rafters all the time, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it's kind of... A lot of the bands were shit, really.
Yeah.
They were like kind of plastic punk, weren't they? And that wasn't the idea I had of a... Because as we both thought, Sex Pistols were a bit of a pub band.
Yeah.
Great single, Anarchy. B-side was great at that.
Yeah.
But the actual...
It didn't really sound like...
No, I hate 12 bar. It was a lot of that.
There was a lot of that.
I hate that shit.
Sounds like Free with Old Man Steptoe singing.
Yeah, and the best, Captain Sensible. Slaughtering the Dogs were just a riot because they're so funny.
Yeah. You'd seen them before, the Sex Pistols, had you?
That was the first time I saw them.
I thought you'd seen him in Withenshire, hadn't you?
We've seen Slaughtering the Dogs before.
Oh, Slaughtering the Dogs.
That's what I'm talking about. So if you say you went to see the Sex Pistols because Slaughtering the Dogs were on.
Yeah. I saw Slaughtering the Dogs in Withenshire. You probably did.
Yeah, yeah. A bit of a way out for you, Withenshire.
We used to sneak into the Free Trade Hall with Mike Rossi.
Oh, yeah.
We might use him as a battering ram. We did.
Did anybody ever pay into the Free Trade Hall? Everyone you ever talked to? Sneak in at the side and then repay it.
Lots of times. But it's all loads of naff bands and you're like, traffic.
Superchop.
Truly dreadful one.
Budgie.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, back on turn and overdrive.
Didn't you see Supertramp as well?
So Supertramp were on the front row.
Good gigs, aren't they?
Yeah, front row for Supertramp. Interesting live band then, weren't they?
We were just into going to live bands. I was just so interested.
So, yeah, there's one. So you're going to see loads of gigs. And then, the big thing is the Free Trade Hall with Sex Pistols. Was that...
Well, Buzzcocks.
Well, yeah, but was that... Did you think that was... Did it feel different then, that gig?
Well, of course it did, yeah, because we were just going to the Free Trade Hall, weren't we? Mm. And that was like a proper venue.
You'd been to the Free Trade Hall a bit, hadn't you?
No, but that kind of small, intimate gig. All ours were like Free Trade Hall.
Yeah, yeah. And thousands.
And the Apollo.
Yeah.
But that's the first time where there's just a few people.
Right, okay.
And it felt strange.
Yeah.
And it felt a bit of a communal, didn't it?
Yeah.
We knew Slaughtering the Dogs, and I knew... sister of Steve Diggle.
Oh, right, okay. Has he got a sister? I thought he had a brother. They might have
Sandra Diggle.
Oh, right, okay. He's
got she was saying, oh, they're playing a gig in Manchester.
Right.
He was playing bass, though.
Yeah, yeah. Right, okay.
And we ended up going to that. I didn't know, I'd forgot all about the Buzzcocks were playing, but I thought they were way the best band. I thought they were brilliant.
Yeah.
I loved all that sawn-off guitar Shelley had. Brilliant.
Oh, right, so then at some point you went to see Buzzcocks, presumably. Did you go to that Ellsworth Hall one? Did you go to that? Oh, there's a band on the wall, did you go to?
I think you're mistaken me for somebody
with
a
memory. I can't remember the next time we saw.
Right, so
should get Simon down here as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, the Marvel the memory man. Bloody hell. That studio was everywhere, wasn't it? Right, so anyway, so you saw the Fall for the first time at the. Why did you go to the?
As I say, my memory was, as I say, I remember standing next to Mark Riley, and we both like just looked at each other after seeing that, because Mark Smith was like,
yeah,
did lots of interactive talking.
He was brilliant, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, it's so incredible.
Yeah,
I thought this is the best band I've seen. This we did said this is the band for us.
Right, okay. So then you
not in a kind of stalkerish way, but I suppose it was, because we went to every gig we played after that. But the Electric Circus one, no.
Right,
total blank on that.
You were definitely there, I think. Weren't
you? We were there. Yeah, we went to both of them.
Is this
nights.
The one with Steel Pulse?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right. They were on the first night. Yeah.
Are you sure they were on Rafters before this circus?
No.
No, you're not sure. No, they weren't. Or no, you're not sure.
I'm not sure. I from what you're saying now, I've got a feeling that I wasn't at that then. It's just you and Mark.
Could have been, couldn't it?
Then we decided to go to the Electric Circus.
Right.
Because they were on and the Buzzcocks were on, it was closing down and all that.
Yeah.
And then we started going to every time they played Manchester.
So how many times do you reckon you saw them before Mark joined? You saw them with Tony Friel, didn't you, obviously, didn't they?
Yeah. Then they did the squat with Eric, didn't they?
I remember that, yeah.
That one was,
so that's the one next door to Emily Pankhurst's house, isn't it?
Yes.
And then, that was tiny. That was just basically a living room, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fairly good.
Tiny little squat, yeah. So then, obviously, the next thing was Mark joined. So that must have been amazing, that. To have somebody you... To have a great man with somebody you knew.
That was absolutely gutting, wasn't it?
Well, he left our band, didn't he?
Hey, I tell you what, the quarry men were never the same, were they?
It was weird. I don't know if you've seen him at the Band of the World first.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really good. I mean, I was happy for Mark, but it's kind of...
Bittersweet.
It was, yeah, because he's, you know, he's good in the band.
Yeah, of course.
Well, we'd been trying for... It'd been a number of years we'd been trying to get something together.
Can't have been that many bleeding years.
It seems like it when you're that age.
When you're young.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
3 months.
Yeah.
Probably
heartbroken. Yeah. We've put 3 months into this.
But I mean, they were...
And then we got the kind of bizarre opportunity to join them.
And I remember after supporting them a number of times.
And I remember going to the rehearsal, and then for some reason I was like directed to the piano. It wasn't Snoopy piano.
No.
I think we played Rebellious Jukebox.
Right, okay.
I mean, I don't like just the basic chords of a piano. I'm not a piano player.
No, no.
And I was like gutted. I thought, oh shit.
Right.
Because Mark had switched to guitar.
Yeah.
You coming on the bass.
And you were going to be the keyboard player.
This isn't going to work. I'm going to lose my mates here.
Right.
Mark's joined it, and now Steve's joined it.
And you're stuck on here.
Well, no, I couldn't but about do a C on a Rebellious.
Right.
So it's like god awful, really. And then Mark Smith just said, let's try it on guitar.
Right,
it was the first time I was being diplomatic.
This is totally different to my memory of it, because I thought you were the obvious replacement for Martin. And then
Mark shifted the goalposts in that way because he wanted to get off bass because he wasn't a bass player. Mm. I mean, he's a good bass player.
Great bass player, yeah.
But he decided he wanted to play guitar. And I think also to help you in on the bass.
Yeah. Yeah, but all this.
You got stuck with a Susan phone, didn't you?
It's funny. And I did, I had really sick feeling when summit for a bit. I thought, oh, Jesus, I'm the only one not getting this gig.
Well, you had the same feeling.
Funny, isn't it? We should talk more.
Bloody right.
Communication. Have you ever read any interviews, early interviews with XTC?
Yeah.
When, he had massive stage fright, I think.
Yeah, yeah, they stopped playing live, didn't they?
They stopped playing live. And they never talked about why. You know.
Yeah. They just stopped playing live and nobody ever mentioned.
Nobody ever.
Not getting many gigs here.
No,
There's loads of bands like that.
They don't talk.
Yeah, well, they don't. They're fairly dysfunctional, aren't they, people in that? So, anyway, so. Well, that doesn't chime with the thing that Martin remembered showing you the songs in detail.
I know.
Yeah, well, that didn't happen. I mean, God bless Martin, but, you know, he gets a bit confused. Did we ever go to Martin's place? I don't even know where it was.
Well, it didn't happen.
I think he's getting confused
with he might have shown Mark Riley stuff.
Well, that'd be possible. You'd have to show Mark, wouldn't you, when he joined?
Well, he would have shown it because he had to show the bass line.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, as I said. Does it sound like me going round to Martin and saying, Martin,
it doesn't really sound like
it doesn't sound massively like you, but then it's not beyond the realms of possibility.
No, never happened.
But it doesn't sound like the atmosphere around at the time. I'm leaving the band, I'll just teach the new guy.
Well, it was fairly.
I mean, when Martin told us in factory, I generally didn't think, oh, fuck, what's going to happen now?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I said that to Martin, I said, what's going to happen now? And he goes, well, you'll probably join.
It never
even occurred to me that.
Well, I mean, it was fairly friendly, because Una was playing with you and you were supporting the Fall, so it can't have been that Daggerstorm, can it? Because I presume, because they were in height then, weren't they?
Well, Una only did a couple of rehearsals. She did a couple of gigs.
She did Eric's with us on keyboard.
Right. Well, no, definitely.
He didn't get schooled.
I mean, I like Martin's style and all.
Yeah, stuff.
But no, he didn't kind of run through songs.
But I mean,
Mark Riley kind of do some Martin riffs, but I just play my own stuff out.
Right. Well, if you put away, it's pretty much.
Yeah, well, I didn't play on that. I just do the loud guitar solo.
Yeah, but it's not.
I hated playing that because it's awful to play.
Right, is it?
It's just a pain in the ass to play. But
it's a G7 for the listeners. He's miming a G7 now.
Rock and rolly for me.
Oh, Jesus. But it's a great song.
The guitar solo is great.
Yeah, I prefer the Peel version. I've always preferred the Peel version. Not least because it's completely out of tune. Well, I've said this about 5 times now, but put away, it's completely out of tune. But anyway, that's a different story. So, where were we? So you're now joined. But Put Away and, what was the other one? Printhead. They were both Martin songs, weren't they? So if he didn't show you, you were sort of... doing this, was it?
Well, yeah, that's easy to think. I mean, Printhead is not right. The Stooges.
Right, oh, is it? Okay.
I didn't know that.
Right, okay. But when you said that, the Printhead's not right, you played it wrong.
I found that weird when Martin came back. Like, the first song he offered was another Stooges song.
Hang on a minute, you've just jumped bloody 10 years.
Which is Little Doll.
Harpy. Sing harpy. Yeah. Anyway, you've just lost 10 years here. So the solution was that you two were going to join on in capacity unknown, either keyboards or. So is that, was that.
Well, no, fortunately, I said Mark Smith said, do you want to play guitar on it instead?
Yeah, right.
So we did Rebellious with two guitars.
Right. Because that was quite.
That worked.
That was quite a departure to have two guitars, couldn't it? Because it was
for the Fall.
Yeah. For the Fall,
yeah. Yeah.
I always had that keyboard thing, didn't you? The Snoopy.
Yeah, the sort of. Yeah. Awful bloody thing. We all played it, didn't we? I think you're the only one who didn't play it. Yeah. Everybody else bloody did.
It's pretty good at sustaining notes, though, isn't it?
Jesus!
I'm talking about Riley, the worst.
Yeah. Like playing track and field. But apparently, we were talking to Una about that, and she bought that Snoopy keyboard, and there was a review of it in the Melody Maker the week after she bought it. Said this is the worst keyboard that's ever been part of the Mac.
I liked it though. I liked it.
It was bloody awful. Awful thing. I mean, well, I don't know. There was that much choice then. I don't think you could go into Mama Locks and buy a synth. But...
Don't it work like say in my area? I think.
Yvonne's keyboard. I thought Yvonne's where great, she takes it for a walk.
Yeah.
So how long did Yvonne last then? When you two came along, did he bully her out? Is that what happened? She didn't last long, did she?
No.
I thought Yvonne was great.
I
think she was just kind of overwhelmed because...
Well, hang on, that doesn't work. This doesn't work, this.
No, I think she was overwhelmed.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, hang on.
Ganging, didn't we?
Yeah, you joined and Mark said play the piano. What was it? What was Yvonne doing at the time? Making a brew? She was still in then. That can't have happened.
Was she?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's on Royal Shumble.
But maybe she didn't turn up for the rehearsal.
Jesus Christ! It's a shit business, isn't it?
She did live in Sheffield somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe she wasn't.
Well, I know for a fact I was like consigned to the keyboards.
That can't have been after Yvonne went. They can't have said we're going to demote. Well, no, that's not really demotion, but they can't have suggested moving you across to keyboards.
Well, I'll say Yvonne who said she didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
They had some pathetic excuse that she went to look after a sick dog or something.
So, the other thing I was going to ask you too, were you there at the time, what did you think when Carl got replaced with Mike? Did you think it was a good move or a bad move or an indifferent or just different? Or not?
You're obsessed with this, aren't
you? No. I can give you my opinion.
You're a big fan of Mike.
I can give you my opinion.
You're just fishing for us to insult Mike.
Not at all, no. Because I was about to say.
A fantastic drummer, isn't
he? I think it was a good thing because if he'd have just carried on with that the way he played on the first album, I don't think the rest of the four would have worked. So, I mean, it's a good the fact that he went away and came back.
But we wouldn't have had, like, Fiery Jack.
No, you'd never have had that.
Flat of Angles. Yeah. Had a certain style, didn't they?
Yeah. See, you're maligning me here. I think it was a good thing that Carl got replaced by Mike.
Yeah, but you think Mike Lee's a shit drummer, don't you?
No. Well,
that's too long a pause there.
I thought Carl. The thing was, I wasn't.
I just
sound.
Had to clear up though, wasn't it? Everybody loves Mark slagging the band off, doesn't they?
Yeah.
And when he does that, Total Stearns, well, your players stop fucking showing off. That was purely Mike Lee.
Yeah, well, I said that. You always thought it was you, didn't you?
And his rototoms.
Yeah.
Well, you can claim it if you want, Steve.
No, you're all right. They were bloody awful.
Well, it's timed perfectly. It was Mike going, having a heart attack halfway through.
Mark Riley always reckons he couldn't get back out. He got to get so far into some of them roles, he couldn't find his way back to playing the beat.
The studio had left, the crowd had left.
Yeah. That's a very unfold.
Well, no, anyway. I don't know what happened to Carl. Did Carl leave, or did he just replace him?
Yeah, he left,
He left?
It's not replacing him then, is it? Well, it is he left.
Well, it's replacing him.
It wasn't a total different... Yeah, it wasn't Mark's decision, was it?
No, Carl left because he...
And Mark was always into that kind of rockabilly look.
Yeah, yeah.
He loved the...
Mike was
in a teddy bear. Teddy rocks it and his drain pipes and his...
Leopard skin flat.
His brothel creepers. Forgot about the leopard skin.
Oh, was that gig? Yeah, the leopard skin flat, didn't he, Mark?
He used to stand on his kit at the end.
Never saw him do that.
Yeah.
But no, Mark loved that simple stuff as well.
Yeah, no, it was great. No, I see, I think it was, you're maligning me, I think it was a good thing that Mike came in, but he wasn't a patch on Carl as a drummer. I don't think anybody would argue with that, would they, from Crossing?
Yeah, Carl was a liability though, wasn't he?
Wait, was he a liability? I don't know. Well, you tell me, I wasn't around then, really. So Oh no, he might have become
the most reliable person.
I always found early days, I always found Carl hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, me, I thought he was brilliant.
Well, well, he was a brilliant drummer and he's funny.
Well, I was a bit of a, you know, I was a bit of hero worship with Carl. That was, well, I was, when I saw that first gig at Bowdoin and it was Mike, especially with it being the old band but with Mike, it was like there was a bit of an adjustment, wasn't it, when you're watching him play Psycho Mafia and Music Scene with Mike on the drums. It was a, broke my heart.
Well, he kept the beat. That's enough.
He did. No, it's not. Excuse me.
No, I mean, and Carl was good. He camped between both camps.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
So it was a good kind of in-between thing for us.
Yeah, yeah. Buffer.
Yeah.
And we've not got there yet. It's coming back and in a bit, Carl.
He used to make Mark laugh most of the time.
Yeah, he
Mark,
did, yeah.
Mark knew he was a chancer, but he liked that people like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Try it on.
Yeah. So, I was going to ask, the first time you were in the studio, was that was with Oz, wasn't it, to do Roast Rumble? That would have been the first time you were in the studio, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, then the first time you both have been in the studio, Mike, I don't think Mike had ever recorded anything before, had he? I don't think.
Apart from the Peel, well...
No, the Peel, you hadn't done it. Mike never did a Peel session.
He didn't do one, no.
The first Peel session you did was the first one I did.
Yes, I suppose. The...
Oh, Mike, I thought you said Mark.
No, Mark had done a Peel session. Yeah. That's brilliant, that Peel session with what's it on? Mess of Mine.
Yeah,
that's brilliant, that. Good drumming. You would have got Mike playing that, would you?
But, yeah, it was the first.
So, where was that? It was in Wales? Was it?
No, it was in Rochester.
Oh, I've just said that.
Well, Cargo.
Cargo.
Cargo at the time, but yeah.
Yeah, with Oz.
Yeah.
Producing. That's really weird, the sound on that single. Do you not think?
Well, it's a weird sounding room.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Dragnet is the same, that kind of. You know you're in this kind of.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, you're right.
Wooden room, yeah, wooden box.
It doesn't sound like grotesque, though. Does
well,
it?
I suppose the Oz was like the sound man, live sound man, and he didn't have a lot of studio experience.
No.
And then
Grant
didn't have a lot of studio experience.
Yes, I suppose.
Well, but grotesque was a lot more like folky stuff in a way as well. There was a lot of... what's that one?
Kath and Carrie.
Yeah, and Grotesque. Grand Friday. And you hear, say, New Face of Hell, you can tell that's Cargo straight away. I start it with doom, doom.
Great guitar.
You can hear that. That Cargo room.
Mm. I don't think Grotesque sounds anything like
Dragnet or Road Rumble.
No.
Because there's a different spread of songs, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I see what you mean, yeah, right.
I mean, because we're all sitting in... Well, no, it wasn't all recorded at Cargo, Grotesque.
It was. Oh, no, we did some at Grants, didn't we? Like Container Drivers and Pay Your Rates. We did that tiny little studio in London.
And you prefer that Container Drivers version to the Peel session?
I do.
I think the Peel session's far superior.
I've never thought so. Is that bloody Fender Rhodes? See, electric piano again, I'm not a fan.
That Fender Rhodes was brilliant, played by me.
Didn't say there was anything wrong with what you were playing. And playing all the right notes, not necessarily on the right keyboard. They were 2 days apart. We did street level on Monday and then the Peel session the next day.
No, it's a proper toilet, that place.
On each other, Jesus Christ.
Typical Grant place, a real hippie commune.
The bog was all in the floor. Dirty bastard.
Remember we played Switzerland and we staying like a hippie commune?
Oh, Jesus. I still have nightmares of that.
They actually threw us out.
I still have nightmares of that.
Because we didn't communicate with them, I think.
They take the lock on the toilet so you couldn't lock the door and you're having a shant.
Yeah. And now they walked in on you, didn't they?
No, it was you. Steve, someone got in the shower. Well, you were in the shower, someone came in and was nice, beautiful, a beautiful people. Again, you're jumping ahead here. We've not got there yet. I've not joined yet. We've not even got to the good days.
Oh, this is what we're leading to, isn't it?
Yeah.
The glory years.
No,
it's not the bricks.
No, I'm just trying to
uphill. It's not the bricks years, it's the ham.
I'm just trying to keep it vaguely chronological, you know. Someone's got to keep a bit of order.
Right, go on then.
Right, so you did, and then you, oh yeah, your Fiery Jack was in, that was in Wales, wasn't it? That's a great sound on that single.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which version of.
I kind of listened to. I think you do when you. If you listen back to stuff later, you kind of think, oh, I shouldn't have played that. Oh, I should have held back on that. I think that with Fiery Jack myself.
What?
I thought, oh, I shouldn't have gone that. Yeah, that.
No, that's the best bit of the blink.
No, so. No. I'm not fishing for compliments. This is an honest feeling where you kind of, oh, I shouldn't have done that bit there.
You know what?
Mark was like about to kind of sing something.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, bite the grenade or whatever. Yeah. And I'm not kind of. Because we did a lot of stuff we did live, didn't we, at that point? Mark, yeah. Even in the studio do stuff live. And I would interact with.
Yeah, of course.
I'd play along with Mark's vocals when he's kind of getting all het up and like, eat less grenade and all.
Yeah.
And all. But there's certain bits on that song, you're like, nah, I could have left that bit out.
You can talk. Say I'm trying to fish your comments, all your compliments, all you want, but I wouldn't change a note of your guitar on that. I think it's brilliant. Which version of Psychic Dancehall do you prefer then? The Dragon version or the single?
What's the single one?
It's on the B side of Fire Jack.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, it's recorded again.
Right.
Recorded it in Wales when you recorded Fiery Jack.
I don't know, I don't remember it. That was ages ago.
It was a while ago.
Steve.
Kind of negates the point of this podcast, so I don't know, it was ages
your
ago.
Your kid doesn't remember it as well.
Do you not remember it either?
Was it radically different?
I don't remember it being massively different, no.
It was a better sound, wasn't it? The sound in.
That can't be hard, that really.
No, well, there you go. Yeah, so I don't think it wasn't. Yeah, you know, didn't play it in 3/4.
I don't know. I thought the Dragnet one was great. I thought.
I think it's brilliant.
It's great the way it opened.
I thought me and Mark worked really well together.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And the way it,
you know, they got
it's a great song. And the way it goes to double time for the chorus, it's a really clever song. But anyway, so you've not got massive affection for the B side.
I remember backstage and somebody kind of go, who did Psychic Dancehall? No, you pointed at me.
Yeah.
You ripped that off Elgar, didn't you?
Did that?
No, I didn't. I've heard Elgar one. There's a guy. Do, do. Oh, no, it's Holtz.
Holtz with the planets, is it? Well, if that's the Holtz, you did rip it off. Holtz pills, maybe.
I only rip off
Holtz, class, Holtz bitter. He's very bitter about that Holtz. Thank you very much. Well, you've lost my train of thought now.
Good.
Won't go in anywhere.
No.
Right, well, you asked what was Psychic Dancehall.
Psychic Dancehall is a great song. No, I'll tell you what I was going to say. Mark, the Quested Psychic Disco was a real thing, apparently, called Mark.
Yeah.
So, pretty impressive.
Yeah. Which I never thought.
Apparently, Cross the Road where the Chippy is, that's got his Mule Europe.
Oh, yeah. All right, okay. So that'll be one they can go to there when they do the tour.
I see Mark's when they used to work.
We are going back now, aren't we?
I trudge. Yeah, it is, yes.
Oh, is it?
Okay. When I'm trudging to work in the morning, I'd see Mark's head peering through these silver birches.
Bloody hell.
You're bashing, you're laughing at me.
Can't leave me alone, can you? Right, so. Then you did. You played a fair bit. Then you did the first American tour, didn't you? Then with Mike, took his drum kit over. As I recall, it was a privilege I never bleeding got.
But there's no bitterness.
No,
he took that drum kit to America.
He did, because there's a great picture of you. I think it's on the way back where you're all sat in the airport lounge, all like looking completely and utterly pissed off. I don't know who took the picture, but a fantastic picture. So that must have been quite the experience. The first American tour.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was everything I wanted America to be.
Yeah.
And it was, those times, late 70s, you watch things and you see yellow cabs and all.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's surreal when you get there just to see that kind of basic level. And I don't well, would have been 18 or 19, so yeah. Still young and all that.
Yeah, see, really, by the time I got to America, you were both very jaded with America. You'd been there a number of times.
Yeah, I always love going to America.
Yeah, me too.
That Iroquois, that was like being in a film, staying at the old James Dean.
You remember, it's a real big deal, that one. Yeah. But it's an absolute toilet where we were, cockroaches all over.
No, it wasn't, when we were in the Iroquois, the receptionist said, where can we go to eat? He said, if you turn right out of here and then right again, you'll be in Times Square. Don't, whatever you do, turn left out of here because you're taking your life in your hands. I mean, that was what was 1983, was it?
But, I mean, there's think the first we went into a diner, I got the meal and we paid for it. We went straight to the till. Didn't know anything about waiter service. We did serve, and we paid like the exact money.
I bet that went down well.
There's excuse me, sir. This is we live on gratuities. We didn't even know what that meant. We just went, all right, okay, good night.
Consequently, we were never invited back. Yeah, but that's a big thing. There's a big difference because it's not like I think people now. I mean, I know it sounds like an old fart, but people know a lot more about America now. It was quite unknown, wasn't it? The only thing you got then was from films and stuff, and there wasn't that many of them.
When we went there, it was basically when New York was kind of kept just going bankrupt.
Yeah, rough.
There's no regeneration.
No, no. But you see the films, people walking over the road, and there's just like shit all over the road.
Well, that's what it was like.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Because, I mean, I'm so sure London was the same. That was that thing with the squats.
Yeah, we were hardly tutting, really. Yeah. Manchester.
No. But, I mean, that thing with street level that was all them squats in London as well. Yeah. The massive big sort of Georgian Audis, and then there'd be like 55 crusties living in London. Horrible. I hated all that, mate. All them squats.
No offence to crusties.
I could drive them out of the room with a bar of soap. Yeah, that here and now thing was because we.
Well, that was great though, because we got gigs and I thought they were all right for what they were.
Yeah,
they played loads of different type of songs, didn't they? It wasn't all just kind of a.
I don't have any massive memories of them. See, I must have seen them. I must have seen them play it now because I think
they were horribly like a big family though, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
They had the kids there and all that. That's wrong. Totally wrong.
I get Here and Now mixed up with Deeply Veiled. In my head, they're both the same thing, and it's...
Well, they always play.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the great unwashed making bean burgers over a fire.
I've not heard us live there, though. I've seen a picture.
An album. What a jumper that is that you've got on.
I was about to say that. I just remember wearing this hideous jumper.
With the broken heart.
That's not a broken heart.
Was it?
Zag.
Oh. It looked like a broken heart. It might even be a tank top. Don't think it even had sleeves. I think it was a tank top with a broken heart on it.
It was a pullover.
Pullover. Sweater, if you will. Yes, there's a live album. I believe the recording is absolutely appalling, though. I don't think.
Oh, yeah, I have heard a bit of it. It's unlistenable.
There's a few of them, though. Some of them four.
There is somebody at the moment. I don't know how it works about film. I kind of get a prompt saying, oh, this is available. And there's loads of false stuff coming out.
Tons.
80s and stuff by someone, Dirty Pearl.
Oh, right.
And it's got just everything. It's like 81, 82. I listened to one of them.
Oh, yeah, somebody was saying that.
I was having a right pop at you.
But me?
Drumming on 1/8, yeah.
Oh, you were? Oh, Marcus? All right, what did he say?
What I say. You'd be upset twice.
I think I'm big enough now. You know.
You just get it together, Paul. Wake up and all this. He's doing all that.
Bastard. It's really bad that doing that.
I hated him doing that in front of an audience.
Yeah.
And he had to do it down the fucking mic. That's telling. You could quite easily walk away from it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Paul, fucking wake up.
Yeah, there's one where after ex-induction hour where he says, you'll have to forgive the band tonight, they believe what they read about themselves. Fucking come on.
It's that kind of, it's just changed the fucking band to himself at times.
Yeah,
when he wasn't in the mood, he would blame us.
Yeah.
He turned it round, it was our fault.
You know, yeah.
Wait, you get lots of wake up.
Yeah.
Or if his order's eating a meal beforehand, you fat bastards, wake up. He did.
Yeah, yeah.
And as I say, there was a lot of gigs where he was bored.
Right.
And he fucking. Blamed the band.
Right.
You know.
Because I think we were, you know, we were pretty consistent, I think. I don't think we were ever like one night. I think we were far more consistent than he was a lot of the time, you know what I mean?
I think we were a lot more consistent.
Yeah.
I remember, I think we played a London gig and he was doing his usual shouting and stuff. And I remember for the first time, I just kind of used to just sit there and like,
you know.
But I like just said that, yo, Mark, we get Bob a bit. And it was not a good gig, but
yeah.
Anybody's standards, yeah. him as well.
Yeah.
So, yo, Mark, it bothers us just as much, bothers me just as much when we don't do a, when we
definitely,
do a bad
yeah.
gig.
Yeah.
And he's so shocked that I'd like spoken up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, sorry, Craig, don't worry about it, Craig, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because it wasn't, I mean, we've talked about this before on the box, it was a matter of being life and death, some of them gigs, weren't they?
Every gig was.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever, were complacent.
No,
if
no.
If you're in a good band, every gig fucking matters.
Yeah. Yeah, but you say that, but you look at, like, our contemporaries then, if you look at, like, what New Order were, and if you read either Barney's books or Hookie's books, they're off the fucking head half of them gigs. You know, they didn't. The privilege of being able to go out and earn your living.
It doesn't mean it's going to be a bad gig.
It doesn't necessarily, but that's another thing, isn't it? That's the other thing, is what the band thinks a good gig isn't always.
Oh, man, that. Loads of times that had happened, I'd come off stage thinking it was awful and Mark would think it was great, or I'd come off thinking it was great and Mark would think it was awful.
Yeah.
And Mark would
and then it kind of got to a stage where you keep your mouth shut, find out if Mark thinks it's great, and then
Mark
you can go,
happy days, getting a beer out.
Yeah, but that's two people on stage, but then the audience perception is different again, isn't it?
Well, yeah, then.
Well, I think we're mostly ecstatic, the audience.
Yeah, I think so.
Because even us at our worst, we're a lot better than most of the bands going around at that time.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that. Well,
I remember, I think we're playing Hammersmith Palais the night before. I think we're staying in these shit hotels, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Ladbroke Gardens.
Oh, fucking hell, man.
It was
what
like
dumb
four of us in a room, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A proper cutting on
playing
the Hammersmith Palais the next day.
But
I remember Mark Riley's like going, Craig, it was like some kind of
in the middle of the night
campfire thing. Are you awake?
Yeah.
That type of stuff.
It was like four of us in a bleeding room.
What was that going?
What hotel rooms have four beds?
The Ladbroke Gardens.
The Ladbroke Gardens.
Probably had two. They put two more in for us.
Well, do you remember the sheets in that hotel? You pull them on, they're fucking damp sheets.
Oh, yeah.
Disgusting, that hotel.
But anyway, Mark was like going, Craig, do you think we're the best band in the world?
Oh,
that's the type of question you ask at two in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were like discussing it. We said, well, we are. And said, we're our only rivals at that time, we both agreed, with the Cramps and the Birthday Party.
Yeah.
I think the Birthday Party were playing with us
next
day.
Yeah.
And I hate the fact, I mean, we absolutely blew them off the stage. But I hate that phrase.
Yeah.
We were just brilliant.
We were, yeah.
And they had some shit sound, man. And they were awful.
Mark has this theory that they were really trying to blow us off the stage because they had like a fire eater and they were, you know.
They didn't have a fire eater. They had somebody in the audience who put some gas down his throat.
Well, what did they expect?
And he blew fire over.
So he didn't have a fire eater, they're just somebody who put gas in the throat and blew it out.
Arranged.
Oh, he just rocked up with his fire eating equipment.
Yeah, Martin showed him how to do it. But anyway,
still got a bird tongue from
Anyway, they were always brilliant.
They were.
Hacienda gigs were fantastic.
They were. And
you've got video evidence of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you're saying a band who are off the face.
They They were brilliant. The best of
all. Right, say, yeah. So they were, and the Cramps were just fantastic.
Amazing. Oh, man, it was just amazing.
Well, we used to do a switch, didn't we? Play. They played one night.
We did a tour where we'd swap headlining.
Yeah.
Well, that, I think we played the London one, and Kay was screaming because the Cramps just had everyone up on stage. And they were supporting us, and it's like,
they weren't. We supported the Cramps that night, I'm sure we did, because that was my first gig, the London one. It might have been somewhere else.
Well, it might have been somewhere else, because Kay was fuming.
Yeah.
Because she knew they were.
I think they let us headline in Birmingham or somewhere.
No, they did a few.
I don't think they were particularly happy about coming over from America and supporting anyone.
But there's
some really nice people.
There's always that story of Mark saying, getting Lux Interior put in front of a mirror and saying, look at the state of the way you look. That's fucking brilliant, Lux Interior.
I remember in the dressing room, because we had to share a dressing room, and he was doing a little pirouette with his eyes closed, whilst Ivy did loads of hairsprays.
Brilliant. They were amazing, weren't they? Everyone. I mean, that Nick Knox on the drums, the coolest
man. And then Brian Adams.
Brian Gregory.
Brian Knox.
Come on. Yeah, he smashed his guitar, as I recall. He had like a flying V guitar at the end of Human Fly or whatever. Not a Surfing Bird. He smashed it and God, he smashed his guitar. And someone said, he's got a supply of the really, really shit guitar. And he gets like eight of them.
But they were fantastic.
They were brilliant.
But they were the only two bands I thought ploughing their own kind of.
And the Virgin Prunes?
Virgin Prunes, I always thought were brilliant.
No, comedy act. I saw them once and they were really good. I kind of got all that theatrical stuff.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, it's just.
I loved them, the Virgin Prunes.
What's the LP where Gavin sings?
That's all of them.
No,
he ruins.
It's Wonderful and Frightening World, though. Do you not like his vocals, no?
It's a bit over the top.
Over the hill.
Copped it.
Eh?
Copped it.
It's all right, but in bits you kind of... It's another one where we should have left that bit out, really. Should have left that. It's like with Kenny fucking Brady singing.
Kenny Brady singing? Oh, he played the fiddle. Yeah.
Buckalize. Ruined that song.
Awful. Why the fuck did Kenny Brady sing Book of Flies? Who wrote the lyric then? It was a presumably Mark, was he?
Yeah.
Why did he have him singing it?
He just sang, like, Only Line, didn't he?
It was quite a lot, really.
Quite a lot,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, what LP was that on?
That's on.
Doesn't Carl.
Shift Work.
Doesn't Carl sing one? I'm sure there's a song Carl sings.
Stay Away from the Old White Train.
Yeah, but that's a cover, isn't it? So that's slightly different. Yeah. But
I don't know why Mark did that.
That could have been a good song if I just don't think Mark was asked about it, so I kind of gave it to Kenny Brady.
Great song.
Musically, it was all right. It could have been all right, but you know, there's certain things Mark doesn't want to put the effort in. Fair enough.
I mean, to be fair to Mark, there's a lot of stuff, isn't there?
Yeah, I think he did have his thing where people were bored. That people might get bored of his voice.
Right. Okay.
Sort of mix it up a bit.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, he does on the same LP, A Lot of Wind.
Dreadful. There's one that's used to be talking to John Peel about the football, isn't
it? That's Mark's little. It's a total ingrate at times, Mark. I mean, he kind of dumped it on me, this. He obviously kind of John Peel, you got a comment on the City match.
Right.
West Ham. And he just phoned me and said, "Oh, Craig, could you do this interview? You go and watch City, don't you?"
Right, okay.
So I ended up kind of.
How did that? That's a weird thing, though, isn't it?
Well, at the time, Peel had this where he'd interview people in bands.
About football, right?
About football, yeah.
Right, okay.
So I did the kind of interview with him, and it's a dreadful game.
Was it?
And like me and Wayne went, and I remember going back to Wayne's waiting for the car from the BBC to do the interview.
Right.
And it was just like, you know, Peter was like, "Oh, well, how was it, Craig?" And I said, "Well, it's really grim, you know, it's terrible." and say, look, they're playing too much football, passing about.
Yeah, yeah. Shit. The future.
What?
It's the future.
Yeah, that's what they do now, yeah. Mm. But obviously, Mark just cuts it to where I'm just like, oh, yeah, just playing a bit too much football. It was his little dig.
I see.
His little joke at a band member, yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, yeah, yeah. Noel's chemical effluence. Are you on that? Is that your... You should learn about them, and that was...
Of course there was, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So selfish, yeah. I listen
to
that.
Fantastic guitar, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's more of a song than you think it.
Is it?
Yeah. Because it was...
But it only kind of got one out. I remember, yeah. I think we're all... just me and you. I don't know if any of it, but we're just sitting in a circle, right, just doing that. And just
in the studio.
Kept going on and on. And we were never asked to kind of do it again, do a second take.
No. Well, that was too much of that. I always think that.
It's one of the... There was always one kind of novelty song on every album,
right,
wasn't there?
No, but there's too many songs where you think, I could have nailed that. I have to give it a bloody chance to do it one more time.
I don't know. I think we nailed it on that song. I was surprised. I thought, well, are we even not going to do it again? Right. Or he's going to keep hold of it for something else? Because I thought it was great at the time.
Right, OK. Right.
There's loads of shit we did.
Is there a lot? I'm not sure there's as much shit on four albums as possibly you might have thought. That's right.
A lot of wind.
Oh, that
one. Kind of bugbear. I mean, athlete cured.
Yeah.
Mm.
Obviously, because it's just a rip off of the Spinal Tap.
Yeah. Tonight I'm going to rock you tonight.
But I thought my guitar to disguise it.
Well, I always thought, funnily enough, I always thought.
I'd rather do this, though, Steve. I thought out with Bricks did Elves. I Want to Be Your Dog.
Yeah. I was just about to say, I always
and
thought.
He was like, going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What's it? I said, well, just don't play along with the riff. Right, okay. And I was doing like...
I was just about to say...
To try and disguise it. So then we start...
You went bum, 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 bum.
I was like, look at... Fuck you.
Well, I was going to say...
I thought it'd be down in the mix.
I was going to say, you could easily... If you took Briggs's guitar down... And just put your guitar. You could have made a different song of it, but the mix of it.
But it worked in the end, though, didn't
it? Yeah, I mean, you did it again, didn't you? Rip off Elves again for another song. Well, not Rip off Elves again, Rip off I Wanna Be Your Dog again. There's another song that's that riff again.
No, I'm
talking. All right, okay. So, what I was going to ask you about, seeing as you did, it's the songwriting process, or the music writing process, was the one. Because you two were at it for a long time, weren't you, in the same. Between, you know, people came and went, but you two. With the kind of engine room of... So was there a process, or was it different every time? Did you have a particular way of doing things, or...?
Well, originally it started out, me and Mark Riley.
Yeah.
Steve was kind of came into it a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
I think the golden period for us, when we were doing... we got the luxury going to Dave Bush's house. That was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That really was.
Yeah.
But as far as it was like Riley, Scanlon,
yeah.
Lennon McCartney.
Yeah. Bloody hell, delusions of grandeur.
No, that was to wind up Mark.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
It drove him mad, that.
So you, when if you credited one of you, you had to credit...
Yeah, because he wanted to do Smith the Fall.
Right, yeah.
Which is...
Which is good, yeah.
Which is dodgy. No, it's dodgy, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he gets 50% and then another percent.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. Is it any more dodgy than him making it up every single time and having it different? There's some really...
Well, after a period, you stopped at looking at song credits. Yeah.
Well, Wings is the one you have pointed it out before. Wings is credited to you and...
Mark. I only found that out later. I only got a phone... Somebody gave me a phone about 5 years ago, so I've had no access to records.
Right.
All I've got in my house are...
bitter memories.
I've got a Live to Air Melbourne gave me after I'd left the band.
Right.
And White Label, Grotesque, and Slates.
We were saying this the other day, we've got nothing.
Nothing, no, no.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got about five or six Totally Wired in the drawer.
Right.
That was supposed to pass around amongst friends.
Oh, right, okay. We have some one of them now. The proper ones with the sleeve and the...
Well, yeah, the face on, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're worth a gig. There's your pension there.
I'm not joking. The shop selling it.
I'm joking, of
disguised.
Course. So anyway,
But you talk about the songwriting process.
Yeah.
I mean, my memories of the best of that is that you'd be a songwriting session, and you'd turn up with like two or three ideas each, put the one that you thought was, you know, more likely to get through, and then, yeah, maybe that'd be rejected or it'd be accepted, and then, and everybody would do that, and we'd end up with a four or five.
So is it, did everybody write
I think it was a bit later.
Yeah, that was later.
Because I remember at times when we were at Dave Bush's,
yeah,
we'd do stuff, wouldn't we? And then Dave had delivered the tape
to Mark, yeah.
And we wait for the phone call.
Yeah.
What's it?
It's a hell from me.
And Dave, and he would get a call from Mark, and he's like, what's this shit?
He ripped it off the Prodigy.
And then I think on one it puts passable.
Yeah.
Which was Pass Gone Mad.
Ah, right.
It was about the only one who... This was it's like the fucking Rolling Stones. This one passable.
Bloody hell!
Yeah. But it was good for us in a way that that we'd just go there today, write the music, and then send it off to Mark.
Yeah.
And he really had nothing to do with it, did he?
No, at that point.
Not at that point.
Well,
I mean, you, that was a strong because Simon was writing as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, we were all writing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I still say that's the. My favourite, well, my favourite folk cover is, I think a lot of folk covers are shit, but Lost in Music is fucking magnificent. I have to say, that is brilliant. I thought the Dave Bush,
I hate cover versions, but that's the only, I think that's the only good one, and Rolling Danny.
Rolling Danny's pretty good, yeah, I like that. You're not on that.
I'm not on that.
Yeah. That's why I like the bass. It's great. That's great, Rolling Danny. Yeah. But I think it got a bit grim then. That sort of.
Xanadu and.
Yeah.
I hated that song. It was an original. Anyway, you know? It's like parents' music.
Really. So how did you feel about the whole sort of chasing a hit? Did it give us a bit of a
penny? Never fucking bothered me.
No.
Did it not?
No.
Well, who did it bother? It must have bothered someone.
Well, Steve, you did a book called The Big Midweek.
Yeah.
Was that looking at the charts? That never bothered me, that. I
didn't really, you know, I didn't lie awake at night thinking we got to have a hit single. No.
Well, who did it bother?
But we did go for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was definitely an attempt. There was money spent on videos and all that shit.
And
somebody must have wanted a hit.
And surely that was Beggar's Bank. Was that where we had loads of 12 inches, like, remix of
in
old,
the north of
old,
53,
old brother, like 10 versions of that.
Yeah, trying to get the same people to buy it again and again.
Yeah.
But, you know...
That was just lazy record company shit. That was the norm for every band.
I know it was.
I'm surprised we went along with it. But
maybe. Yeah.
But Mark was with Bricks, and Bricks is a very ambitious woman, so she wanted all that stuff.
But, you know, without being funny, Mark must have, at that point, he must have at least... been ambivalent about a hit. It was because there was times when I thought that he was actively...
Don't forget Mark was wearing long leather coats at that point.
Yeah, I know, but there was times when I was in the fall when Mark actively went against...
Sabotage.
...getting popular.
So
there was a period of time there where he did... if nothing else, he stopped.
He played the game at the time, but...
So
you know, when you're in the band, we didn't... I don't know... we're going to be on Top of the Pops next week, or we didn't, you know, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I remember you phoning up saying we might be on Top of the Pops next week.
apart from the time when I rang Craig and said we might be on Top of the Pops next week, I never
thought we were going on Top of the Pops.
You can give over.
What was the one when we went quite high then? Was it Ghost in the
House? Why would you be in a band that issues singles if you didn't want to go on Top of the Pops?
Yeah.
Why would you not want to go on Top of the
Pops? That was never in my psyche, you know. It was just, this is the band.
Yeah.
And calling back to me and Mark Riley, this is the band.
Yeah. Of course it is. Yeah. I get that.
absolute fish out of water.
Yeah, I know, but you're
all
not
the stuff they had there.
You're not a folk man. You want people to hear it, don't you? Why would? What I'm saying is, there's nothing wrong with what
I think.
It's a little bit.
It's the same with Mark. I think he just wanted to be able to pay the wages and not have to get a proper job.
Yeah.
And that was
just happy doing what we were doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have no problem with that, but I don't.
The people who's, like, as I say, Bricks was very ambitious.
Yeah.
Still is.
Still is, yeah.
Kay was that kind of.
Kay was a different kind of ambition.
Red Brigade, kind of communist. Yeah. Never sell out.
Selling out was a big thing.
Massive thing with Kay. And that, that influenced Mark a lot.
Yeah, well, that's gone completely now, though, hasn't it? The idea that you would. Because, I mean, it's not just a thought.
I mean, I think Mark had still had residues of that Kay philosophy. You know, the kind of, you say, sabotage stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's an element of Kay, like, saying, oh, you're going too far, in his head.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember that they thought Buzzcocks had sold out because they'd obviously had a hairdresser for the picture on the cover of Love Bites. That was them selling out for Mark and Kay. There was, you know, someone had taken the time to make them look nice for a photograph.
She's proper strict.
Oh, I'm ridiculously.
Caring that. Well, that's a good, in a way.
It's good, yeah. I'm not.
I think when we joined, we're all kind of, not socialist, but we're looking at very left wing.
Oh, yeah, I was a socialist, I still am, you know, in a lot of ways.
Well, I've always been Labour and all that, but Kay was like the extreme of old hippie, you know. But they're usually the biggest breadheads.
Yeah, well, you've got to watch look at your Richard Branson.
Grant Showbiz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, that's his private jet, Grant Showbiz.
I love Grant, but he was a proper breadhead, like a proper hippie.
Right, I can see it. Yeah, there's definitely a correlation there. If you're listening, Grant,
we don't think you're Richard Branson.
You've just been slagging off the crusties.
Yeah. Dead right. Grant was never a crusty. He had a briefcase. So, later on, when you left the fall, or were left into the fall, and you kind of lost
that interest in that? That was a weird day, because you phoned me up.
Before we get to that, had you lost interest in it, or did you think you weren't... Were you phoning it in by that stage, or...?
No, I'm just disappointed with Steve and everybody who does that.
Right.
Where this kind of say, oh, we wasn't bothered. Because I thought I'd never do it. It's like with Mark Riley. I'd never say, oh, he lost interest. He was sat because fucking Mark and Kay couldn't handle him, answering back.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
There's an element.
Do you think?
Well, unkempt appearance.
Failure to
maintain amplifiers.
Why do you think you were really...
Wouldn't stand up in court, that, would it?
No, not really. Why do you really think you were sacked, then?
Well, Mark already said he thought he needed a sacrificial lamb.
Right, OK.
Because he thought the band were getting lazy. Is it true that they were? Perennial. Well, after the farce of cerebral co-op, whatever it's called. That was just kind of too many fucking guitarists.
I was going to say that. So at that time there
could have been possible good songs in it, but apparently
everybody was playing guitar.
Don't ask a fucking drummer to play guitar.
No. As a drummer who has played guitar, it's a terrible idea.
You've done some decent stuff on Winter. It's nice, subtle.
It's all right.
Carl. He's just a rockish guitar.
He is a rockish.
And that's the worst possible combination for the Fall.
Right.
Rockish guitar.
Yeah.
When we worked with Craig Leon.
Yeah.
He overdubbed proper rockish kind of guitar solos on it. Is it Ed's Baby did?
Did it?
There's loads of fucking obdub.
Right.
And it's like, that's not the Fall.
No, not at all, no. I mean,
that kind of got us thrown off... what they gave us, kind of, they paid us off basically to get off the label,
right?
And we did what's a big seller after that?
Infotainment Scam,
went top.
It didn't work for us on a major label,
did you not?
That was a fact. I mean, shipping us to Wales. We went to Wales, didn't we, I think?
Yeah.
Carl gave me a lift there on his bike, Gustav. And I remember spending...
Gustav was the name of his bike.
Yeah. I spent half the morning trying to tape Gustav, his bike, to start not up to much or something.
Yeah,
I bet this is costing loads of money.
This is ridiculous. That's mental. It's the amount of money people spend in studios avoiding recording anything.
Residential studios, it's not good. When they've got wine cellars on.
Yeah, it's not good for you. Certainly not good for the fall, is it?
Yeah.
So hang on.
They don't lock the door.
Just to get back to it, so you think you were a sacrificial lamb because Mark thought the band was getting a bit lazy?
Yeah, but also there's an element of I was fed up because cerebral caustics or whatever it's fucking called, and that shit LP we did.
So you were fed up then?
I was fed up, yeah. But then again, there's lots of people fed up.
Yeah.
Because Mark was fed up for about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
We didn't fucking get rid of him.
No. Well, no.
And every band member's had a period of early kind of...
Yeah, if you stay around long enough, it's probably a bit weird if you don't get fed up.
You're fed up of being slagged off and all that.
But, again, it's a weird thing, isn't it? Because it was kind of unthinkable to sack you in a lot of ways, wasn't it? Because you had been, 15 years or something? I mean,
longer than that. How long have you been in now? You've gone up to 22 yet.
That's next year.
20 was the
I'm
last
working
one.
On it. Yeah.
So have you been 22? I've been 18.
Yeah. He counts the year rodeo in as a year.
Yeah.
So if you count that, that's 16.
What
years.
About your break?
That was only 3 months.
Was it 3 months?
Yeah. Did it feel like longer, Craig? Felt like 5 minutes. Come to turn around, he was fucking back again.
So, no, obviously, you're a little pissed off, and also the way it was. Steve phoned me up, says, "Oh, we sacked the band." And Steve phoned me back and said, Well, is I think sacked you, you need to speak to him.
Yeah. And did you speak to him?
I eventually went round to his house, and Saffron answered.
Right.
And I could hear him in the background, doing his usual crew. And she's like, he's not in.
Fuck.
And then once I heard that, I thought, fuck it, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're fighting. If he doesn't want you in the band, it's all very well saying you should fight for your place, but why fighting for the place against someone?
It's not like Carl Burns, you know. Get sacked and he'd come back.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark liked that kind of anarchic kind of funny thing.
But he did. He asked you back, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I think the band were going to play Leeds. He said, "Do you fancy coming along playing this?" But as I say, I've been.
He has said that he
regrets getting.
You're the only
one he regrets getting rid of.
Yeah. But I was in there for about 3 or 4 hours with Mark in the Foresters.
Right.
And he kept just repeating this, like he was. He kept repeating something and go, grabbing your arm.
Right,
hey, it's funny that, isn't it? It's funny, isn't it? And I thought, well, it's not that fucking funny. I thought, it was in a bad way.
Right, okay.
And then, from what you said, Steve, the 2 or 3 years after that were an absolute nightmare.
I think you got out at the right time, definitely, yeah. Yeah. Gone.
Simon got out at the right time as well, didn't you?
Just after that.
Yeah.
No, it went really downhill after that.
No.
No, Simon. Yeah. Wilson Coffee Week.
Yeah.
Well, he had more, was it more like arguments about credits and stuff?
Which is weird because
I never had that.
No, because we never said anything, did we? None of us ever said anything about credits. We might say it to each other, but no one ever. I don't report
anything. It was our biggest topic of conversation.
Yeah.
I wrote that.
But that
way.
We're back to Wings again, aren't we? That's a disgrace, that. But you've not got a credit on Wings.
Well, no, I'm not.
I mean, that's mental.
I didn't even know I wasn't credited, but everybody knows I wrote this. That's enough for me. I mean,
there's no parsnips, though, does it?
Yeah, I'm pissed off with Cruiser's Creek.
Why?
Where you don't get a credit for the chorus or the break, because otherwise it would just be a great riff.
It is a good riff. Ding, who wrote the riff?
Brits.
Right, okay. But it's a great riff.
Or the other part.
Did you?
I remember pointing out, and John Fogerty was there as well. he'd brought the single round.
Right.
Like, looked at it, and it's kind of got...
The publisher would...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not the guy out of Crean's Crew, what about it?
And it had Smith. Smith says, well, what's this? You know I wrote the thing or whatever it is. And Brits have got, oh, yeah, we'll get that signed in. And, yeah, we'll get that sorted. I mean, we'll publish it. And it never happened.
No, it never does, because they said exactly the same thing to me about slanking. Oh, we forgot to give you the credit on that.
Did you write that?
Yeah, well, the keyboard bit, Mark sort of did it on a kazoo, but it was nothing like... But it's half the song, isn't it? Well, I never pursued...
Well, no, you should have credit for stuff you've done, you know.
He went like... Can you make a riff out of that? And after ling, ding, 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 but no, I've not got credit. We meant to give you a credit, but we forgot. We'll sort it out. I mean, you don't sort it out.
It's never sorted.
No,
yeah.
It's just not.
I mean, going on that theme of credits, I was pissed off. You did the Ben Sinister thing or something in London, didn't you?
Yes.
Was it Ben Sinister?
Yeah.
The listening thing. And I saw a Twitter thing from Bricks saying, R.O.D. Mm-hmm. My riff, my lead, and it was mine.
Right.
And I remember Mark asking me, Craig, could you show Bricks this so she can figure something out? So I'm going, ding, 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 ding.
Right.
And she's like figuring out something on the guitar. In the Twitter, it's like going, I'm harking back to my surf years.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the fall fallized it.
Yeah, but there's a thing about that, though.
No, but when you total kind of non-memory, this was my... It's a great fucking... Down, 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 down. But she's playing along to something I wrote.
Right.
And then to, like, say... Like she had it in her coffers there. This is what's it. I mean, it's just dishonest.
But there's a lot of that, and there's a lot of things.
Well, no, not retroactive. Now he's dead. You know, everyone should just be fucking honest about
something. Well, yeah, I mean, who can
now
be
he's
asked?
Dead, you can, like, say, oh, yeah. Because you'd like going, oh, Mark invited me, begged me to come to England, wanted to produce my songs.
Yeah.
Well, that's bullshit.
So what would you reckon was the... What was the best... period of the fall for you that you were in, would you say? I don't care if you say I was there or whatever, I don't give a fuck. But
you weren't.
No, I'm not sure.
So
I'm sure.
Why would you mention that?
Because I just wanted to free you up, Craig, to say what you like.
Well, it's quite extensive, to be honest.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
I mean, obviously, the little bugbear you have about room to live, and that was...
I'm getting over that.
That wasn't a pleasant experience.
It wasn't a pleasant experience.
Not being invited to the party.
No, no, it wasn't a pleasant experience. But I'm more of the opinion now. If you say took X induction hour of room to live, and said, well, that's one double album. That'd be quite the double album, really, wouldn't it? You know, and I my memories of how good the album is are tainted by I didn't enjoy the experience. So it's not really fair to do.
Well, me and Mark Riley were kind of privy to your traitorous actions.
Yes. I am convinced that it was the other way around.
We were, because we weren't there.
Yeah. If it had been the other way around, they'd have staged up, they'd have placards outside, you and Mark walking up and down, freely out with two.
I'm just happy. I think Solicitor in Studio came out well. It's like one of mine.
It did. That's all six of us, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Which is an indication that it could have been great.
Yeah, it would have been great. I would say that about
that. I think the actual idea, the marquee track,
I think it's a great song.
Brilliant. Yeah.
But it's like taking the first rehearsal of a cassette and
putting another. I mean, I kind of embellished it when we did it live.
It was Miles Fair Live, yeah.
But another 6 months and that album would have been
great. I just think lyrically, Mark E. Judge.
He was on fire then.
He's fantastic.
He's brilliant.
The brilliant concept, Falkland's War, Lord Haw Haw.
Yeah, it's really clever on every level.
Yeah.
But no, but forget that. What? When were you happiest in the band, or when did you think the band was the best that you were in?
I still around that time. I mean, there's loads, but I've got fond memories of the Extricate tour of you.
I think most of them, I was dead happy with Ben Sinister.
Yeah.
I don't know if people like that though, do they?
No, I don't think it's kind of under the radar, isn't it?
A brilliant kind of gloomy LP.
Yeah, it's not one that's
shit sleeve as well.
Yeah, we'll get enough more pictures of Mark on it.
Yeah, yeah. And this Nation Saving Grace is a lot of people's eye spot. Would that be yours?
Well, that was a great period as well. I think really good.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
And that's why.
No, that was a good period, though, I must say.
It was. Yeah. I mean, there was Simon Rogers.
There was money
yeah,
about
but it. The one yeah. Simon is credited for.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
I fucking hate that.
What?
Despite the Victorian Charm.
You don't like that, no?
It's too prog rock for me. It's too fancy pants.
Yeah. I mean, he was a proper musician, though, wasn't he? Simon Rogers.
Well, that's the thing, though. You can't write songs if you're fully trained.
You reckon?
Well, I think you kind of... You know how to do.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's Steve said about when we joined with Jason Brown, who can write songs, don't get me wrong, but he was, every riff he's got has got a name. it's a Mixolydian blues scale. But I mean, I think you can take.
Well, I say, you've got to unlearn stuff if you're classically trained. You taught all the correct things to do.
But it's not impossible, is it?
We were amateurs, and we did it by just
feel
of a song.
It's not impossible to be classically trained and to, you know, it happens in art all the time, doesn't it? That you take what you've learned and disregard it and do something different. It's not impossible.
Yeah, but you can't slum it. Because it would be slumming if Simon tried to. I mean, a lot of people like Spike Victorian Charm.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not my bag. It's too. It is too overcomplicated.
Right.
And I think if Simon Trapp just kind of came with, I've got this one. You think, well, you're just insulting those peasants, aren't you? That's the type.
Basically, what you're saying there is he can't fucking win, can he?
Well, no, it'd be patronising it.
Yeah, exactly.
It can show his skill on the guitar and the Spike Lee Victorian Charm.
Mm-hmm. But you don't like it?
I don't, because it's, as I say, it's too fancy pants. I don't think it's very fall.
Well, that's an interesting question. What is fall? You can't, you know, some of that, like you say, some of the stuff with...
Stuff that you never know when to end.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of that. There is a lot of that. But what's the stuff with Dave Bush? You wouldn't say it's similar to Dragnet, would you? But it's still the fall. You wouldn't say, you know, it's still the same band. But,
yeah, it's a different phase of the fall.
I know, but why is it the same band? But it's not. The whole thing about Marquis Smith and his, you know, and the Granny on Bongos, I find massively insulting and
pathetic. Yeah, that's offensive,
yeah. Yeah. But.
And bleeding hell, milk to death.
Eh?
And yeah, God, Mark. It's just like the first thing people say.
No. You just know it's a bad journalist when they mention it.
He even actually said it. You know?
Apparently, Dave Bush claims he said it.
He claims he made it up, yeah. It's you.
Anyway, it's an awful offensive statement, anyway.
Yeah, it's an insult to all them people.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mark wouldn't have existed without a decent band behind him.
No, because.
His spoken word LPs, aren't it? I go and fucking tour that in America. You know, you do that in the Texas Steakhouse.
I've never heard it. I wouldn't know.
I have, but I can imagine it.
Yeah, yeah. Who are we talking about? If in 1978, end of 1978, 1979, if Mark Smith has come to you and said, Martin's leaving the band, we're going to call it right, it's going to be Marquis Smith. With backing musicians, would you like to play behind me? You'd have still done it, wouldn't you? I think. Wouldn't you? But it was the fall, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a majesty of the fall in that way.
Yeah.
I mean, when I saw him, as I say, I thought, this is the band.
Because you would have done it.
We had a lot of autonomy, though.
Yeah, definitely.
So we weren't kind of a... Well, Mark couldn't write songs. He had occasional flares of genius. And you can tell it's all kind of like, you know, a two-note, down.
Bit of length, pay your rates, yeah.
And later on,
what was that?
Pinched off.
Pay your rates, I don't know. Was it pinched off?
What was the one you were talking about the other day?
Well, your babysitter's is Mirsud.
Mirsud.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was my
babysitter. Oh, I forgot about that, though.
Yeah.
Right. But you can always tell Mark stuff because a lot of them it's got
yeah.
Where you bend the string.
Right.
So my new house is ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding down. Because I remember him, play this, Craig. He didn't say play it like I say, he just play this. So we've got, you know, ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a down. Every fucking song he's shown me, it's got a kind of ding in it. So you can always tell where Mark's at and him.
It's only so far I can take that, though.
It is, you're not getting 40 albums out of that.
It did generally, I didn't know that babysitters, I only learnt about that years.
I only found that years
I remember him, like, just going, play.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great song, isn't it? So do you not tap into the idea that there's a big thing about Hex in there and people talk about that? Do you, that I wouldn't have thought that. It's not your favourite Fall album by a long shot.
Yeah, it's a good LP.
It's a good LP.
Favourite.
It's my favourite Fall LP. Well, it's certainly the favourite of mine. I'm on. Certainly the favourite of the ones I'm on. Give all. Thanks, mate. Yeah, fucking hell, any choice?
You wrote a book about you, vain bastard.
I was asked to write it.
But no, I think we're slagged off. Right, so XUK.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Lissy just to remind me.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That's it. Look, all right.
Good album.
Chicago Now is good, isn't it?
Mm.
I'm surprised you don't get credit on that. It's just
so
Mark.
Am I.
It's just Mark.
So am I. Yeah. There's me and Simon.
But
me and Simon are in that warehouse in Ancoats for days doing that.
Yeah, they wouldn't give it like that, would they?
Yeah, no. Fucking live with it, Steve.
I am.
Such is life.
I am. I didn't get credit on it.
We're going to get back to Wings in a minute. I'm thinking of the petition in Parliament that Craig doesn't get a credit on Wings.
I created a guitar sound there.
Very modest. I started a generation there. Yeah. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? We should go round everybody who's in the fall. What's your greatest injustice on credits?
Yeah.
I think that's been on for fucking years, that though, isn't it, really? So, I mean, I think Cold Selfish is slagged off.
Still a good album,
is it?
I
think that Birmingham School of Business is good. I love that.
Yeah.
And I remember Stuart Lee. He's the only one who kind of got it out. He says it sounds like the guitarist is playing a guitar solo with an utter contempt for guitar solos.
Yeah.
Which, that's
your career, that, isn't it?
That's
very
true,
though. Yeah, I know it is.
I was trying to figure out how to play I Can't Stand the Rain.
Oh, right. All right. Well, I always
when
think
I got kind of bored a bit. I said, "Oh, it sounds a bit like that." Let's try and figure out if it's real because it's all live.
Yeah. I always think your guitar solo on Container Drivers is someone who says bollocks to this for the game.
I think that fits perfectly. That's a proper Gene Vincent ragga solo for high energy song. I thought it's quite.
It's George Foreman. Never mind, fucking Gene.
Well, it's just taking you down.
It's brilliant. But it's like I cannot. Convince anybody would think of playing that over that. That's
wow.
Well, you'd do a cliche thing with them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. Yeah. We did it with for the book launch, and Jason played it, and I was thinking, that's a guitar solo. Now that's not what Craig's playing on this. You know, Craig's not
exactly.
That.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a little kind of Gene Vincent acoustic, a feeble like acoustic shit.
It was definitely feeble.
Nobody likes Gentleman's Agreement as well for some reason. I think it's a nice song.
That's a good song.
Married Two Kids. I think that's a great song. Yeah. Lyrically, I think
that's
really good.
Well, you weren't married with two kids or what?
Yeah, it's every man that, though.
Right.
Really. And that's why I think it's...
Well, you've got to be careful.
Lyrics.
You know, you've got to be careful with Mark's lyrics, that that they're all about one thing as well, because they never are.
No, of course not. It's everybody we met in the day, whoever wasn't in the room at the time, that type of stuff. It really is.
It is.
And I used to go for a drink with Mark in the Woodthorpe. It's slag off. Mostly Carl,
right.
Dave Bush, anybody who asked him for money. No, it was Simon. Yeah. Oh, Simon's asking for a pay for his petrol. Right. And then again, Simon used to be his taxi driver, wasn't he?
Yeah. I never.
But I knew that.
No. Well, you lasted as long as you did. That's why you ended up in the poor house.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I'd asked for more.
Right, I think we're going to have to wrap it up there, gentlemen. What an absolute pleasure.
That
was. Yeah, bleeding now.
Oh, man.
So you come back and do another one?
Yeah, we only just started.
I think it should be a part two.
Yeah, we'll have to do a part two. What about we could do a four of us, me, you and Mark and Craig. How do you fancy that?
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
I've not seen Mark for fucking ages.
Right, you heard it here first, listeners. The lineup that brought you Grotesque will be reunited for several pints.
He'd agree to do it, Mark.
Yeah, yeah. Right, okay. Well, thanks very much, Craig. Beautiful.
Thank you, Mark.
Absolutely fantastic.
Thanks for joining us this week on Old Brother. Episodes are released every second Monday, so watch for episode 8 in 2 weeks. Please follow us on Twitter at Old Brother Show, where you'll find a link to Spotify and subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher or RSS so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, give us a rating on iTunes, subscribe on the YouTubes or just tell your friends. For further reading, you can check out our books about the fall, The Big Midweek and Have a Bleeding Guest, both of which feature Craig, of course, from Root Publishers and all good bookstores. Hope to speak to you all again soon, and if you're driving, take your car. Ta-da!